prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning. It is Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me, as always, is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And today we're talking about the trilemma. Who is Jesus? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus? Was he actually God?
Right.
And we're also talking, we got some questions.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have a bunch of questions, actually.
And we got a Bible contradiction to answer.
And we don't have one of those.
What? Yeah. Yes, we do. Stop messing with me.
Well, I said we only have one of those.
Oh, I thought you said we don't have one of those. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We have a Bible contradiction. So
we did a whole show of those, and that was just fun.
It was. Well, we do one every week if you're new to this show. Mm-hmm. People claim that the Bible has contradictions, and we say it doesn't.
It has none.
Now, that's a pretty hard claim on our part to back up, but we think you've got a harder job because you have to show us where the Bible contradicts itself.
Right.
I was reading the Bible the other night, and I thought I found one.
Did you? Did you freak out?
No, I didn't freak out because I used our acronym CRACKED. Uh-huh. And I can apply it. Now, I haven't actually figured it out yet. I'm working on it. I'm gonna have to study it for a few minutes.
Oh, really? You'll have to bring it sometime.
I will.
When you get it figured out.
It was bedtime when I saw it, and I was tired, and I just wanted to go to bed. Okay. So I kind of marked it, and I'll come back to it later.
We're talking about trilemma today.
Yeah.
We all know what a dilemma is when you have two...
Opposing options,
but trilemma? We got three?
Yeah, very good. You're a very smart man, Dave.
Well, you know, I try.
And this is where faith and reason meet, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and you can challenge us.
Do.
You can ask questions.
Yes.
You can follow us on Twitter. You just go to twitter.com/JeffPeepo if you want to get to my Twitter feed. I've got some atheists on there now who are posing some questions.
That's good. Good stuff, man.
Had one challenge me today and then blocked me before I answered them.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, if you're never challenged, you never grow. So,
right.
We like it.
We like questions. Yeah, That's good. All right. Anyway, so the trilemma. You know, is this thing about Jesus? Who was Jesus? Mm-hmm. Was he God or not? But before we even get there, I want to do a quick follow-up from last week.
Okay.
All right. C.S. Lewis, which we're going through his book, Mere Christianity.
Right.
C.S. Lewis says, a car is made to run on petrol and it would not run properly on anything else.
Right.
Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn. Or the food our spirits are designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it's just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there.
Amen.
There's no such thing. Now, that's what C.S. Lewis says. What does he mean by this?
Well, you know, I mean, without God, well, here, let's do this.
Okay.
God created happiness. Okay.
Yeah.
And God basically in and of himself, that is one of his attributes, I think. I mean, he's good. Everything that would make you happy.
Okay.
You know, good and faithful and you know, anything that you would want in a friend that would make you happy besides money, you know, because we know, I mean, money only goes so far in a friendship, right?
Okay, but can't we be happy if we buy a car?
Well, you can, but it's only a temporary thing. You know, I got that motorcycle sitting out there.
Yeah.
And when I bought it, man, I was excited. I was riding it every chance I got. And I still ride it on a regular basis. But the newness is kind of worn off.
Okay. Now, see, C.S. Lewis says this right after he talks about the love defense for evil that we did in the last show. Now, what's the connection between the love defense for why evil exists and him saying, you know, God's the only one who fuels our soul? Well, I think the connection is, what do we love? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can enjoy a motorcycle, and I do. I enjoy my four-wheelers. Right. Uh-huh. I can enjoy those things, or a car, or a movie, but true, lasting, deep-seated happiness and joy really can't be found in something else.
Right.
Real happiness, not a flimsy happiness, comes from God and knowing God.
Well, and everything gets old, you know? And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're driving a car, if you're jogging, or if you're working at a plant, everything tends to get old.
Yeah.
But if you're in the Word and you're studying about God's Word, there is no way that that gets old as if you're constantly doing it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So good. All right, let's jump onto the trilemma, which we said we're going to talk about today. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, he says a very, very interesting quote, and let me just read him for a little while here. He says, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. Oh, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept him, his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. Mm-hmm. A man who said that sort of thing, Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not left that option open to us. He did not intend to."
Wow.
I love that quote. It's very good. Uh-huh. It's very good. Very thought-provoking. If that wasn't thought-provoking to you, you need to go back and listen to this again.
Right. And basically, I mean, he cannot be a great moral teacher if he's telling everybody that he is God and he is not. If he is not God and he's telling everybody this.
Well, and he told us some crazy things like, hey, eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we know he was speaking of those metaphorically, but he also told people, if you're not willing to leave your mother and father to follow me, you're not worthy of me. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's serious. So if he's not really God, that's a problem.
True.
He's either God or a crazy cult leader, or he's lying. Either what he said wasn't true. Now, this is called the trilemma, and I don't agree with it.
Okay.
Now, here's why. Okay, I agree with it in a sense, mainly. But William Lane Craig, who's a great philosopher, this guy is amazing. If you haven't read any of his stuff, you should try to read it. And I just, your brain will hurt. You know what? We need to call him and get him on the show sometime.
That would be awesome.
William Lane Craig. And he says this. He points out the argument goes, number one, if Jesus were not Lord, he'd be a liar, a lunatic.
Right.
Number two, Jesus was neither a liar nor a lunatic. Therefore, Jesus is Lord.
Okay.
Now, that's a valid argument, according to Craig. That's true. He says, this is a valid argument, but the argument is still unsound. It's valid, meaning like those conclusions follow. The conclusion follows from the argument.
So it is unsound, and is that...
He says it's unsound because the first premise is false. Now listen, what was the first premise? If Jesus were not Lord, he would either be a liar or a lunatic. He says that's not true. And I agree with him.
Okay.
That's not true. He says, quote, "There are other better alternatives. For example, that Jesus as described in the Gospels is a legend. Hence, in presenting a deductive argument for some Christian truth claim, we need to be careful to construct arguments which are logically valid and have true premises."
Okay.
Now, what he means is, just by saying, hey, if Jesus weren't Lord, he would be either a liar or a lunatic. Those are your only three options. Well, that's not true. Those aren't our only three options.
Okay.
Perhaps Jesus was a myth.
Okay, that is an option.
That's not...
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Perhaps aliens came and implanted this story in all of our brains and control it with a computer.
Oh, wow. We could go on and on with options, actually.
Sure, right, yeah. Exactly. We come up with all sorts of crazy options. But the point I just want to make is that there are some other options out there. So I don't want to treat this as a deductive logical argument.
Okay.
You know, one, two, three. Ha, he's not Lord. He's not liar. He's not a lunatic. So he has to be Lord. So everyone bow. You know, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I want to treat this as is a very decent inductive argument. A very decent, hey, this should hold some weight. Mm-hmm. Look, he wasn't lying. He's not crazy. You know what? He probably did exist. And we did another show called Was There a Historical Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I think we showed he does exist.
Right.
Even Christopher Hitchens thinks he existed. Remember that? The atheist. So, you know, he really did exist and he wasn't lying. He's not lunatic. So, you know, probably, and he did claim to be God. So, you know, he probably is God. I mean, this seems to make sense.
Right.
I just don't think we can treat it as a logical deductive argument.
So what you're saying is basically you don't want to have a closed mind when you're coming at this, because some of the people that we are arguing with or debating with will leave it wide open for other arguments.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So you don't want to close those arguments off.
I don't want to close it off. I don't want to say, these are the only three options, and no one can argue with me. I'm just going to sit here and dance. I got three arguments. We got Lord and liar, a lunatic. And that's, no, I mean, it's not going to be like
that. Do not ever do that again.
Why? I thought that was really clever for on the fly.
It was. It was nice, but it was like, you know, with you dancing, I know the people can't see you doing this.
We need a video camera.
No, we don't.
Lord, liar, a lunatic.
Yikes.
I need a video camera in here really badly. All right, so anyway, it does give us a good framework for understanding who Jesus probably was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really do have to, if you want to be an honest intellectual, you have to say, well, Jesus was something, okay? You can't just ignore him.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, he's a good moral teacher, and then just leave it at that. I mean, you really, if you want to be honest intellectually, you need to examine who Jesus was.
So what you're saying is basically, in order to fairly examine all the evidence, you need to step out of your Christian self and look at it from a non-biased position.
Sure, or out of your atheist self.
Right.
Or out of your agnostic self, whatever, and look at Jesus objectively.
Right.
Okay, he doesn't seem to be the type of person who told lies, who is dishonest. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem crazy. Unless he wasn't God, you know, then he would be crazy because he called himself God. He really did claim to be God, you know, and so what's the reality here?
Well, what do you say to those people that say, well, he didn't really claim to be God? What if those people that wrote the Bible just put that in there?
Well, that's good. That's a good question. Actually, William Lake Craig, he continues and he says, it's naive and outdated simply to trot out the dilemma and to do several proof texts where Jesus claims to be the Son of God. The publicity generated by the Jesus Seminar on the Da Vinci Code has rendered that approach forever obsolete.
Uh-huh.
If an apologetic based on the claims of Christ is to work, we must do the requisite spade work of sorting out those claims of Jesus that can be established as authentic and then drawing out their implications. In other words, let's really be sure that Jesus claimed to be God,
right,
and not just say, oh, look, here's one Bible verse that kind of looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a show, Did Jesus Claim to Be God?
Right.
Now, I'm going to say on the other side of this break that Jesus did claim to be God. We're going to show why, just really briefly. We're also going to encourage you to go to our website, truthrevolution.tv. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to do a Bible contradiction. So we're going to have a very busy second half of this show.
We're going to try and burn right through it.
All right. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Hi. This is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does a dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we are on the other side of that break.
Yes, sir.
And we're about ready to jump at all those things you said we were going to jump into after the break.
That's right. I promised to encourage you to go to our website. So go to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
That's right. You can check out past episodes.
And here's a big one. We're doing something new. Truth shots.
Right. Little bitty, like, 1 minute clips.
Yeah, 60 seconds of Truth Revolution. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try just for a while to see if we like it.
It's like the daily truth.
Yeah, we're going to try to do one of these every weekday, Monday through Friday. So you can get a truth shot every day of the week except Saturday.
There you go.
Because you got Truth Revolution on Sunday, then Monday through Friday, you get truth shots, 60 seconds each.
Saturday, we give you a chance to breathe so you can dive into the actual Truth Revolution on Sunday.
That's right. Actually, just rest your brain for the reality that is Truth. So anyway, go to the website on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because there's going to be a new Truth Shot 60-second thing there every single day this week.
Right, and that's good for those of you who can't go there every day, because then you can easily catch up.
Sure. All right, good. So now, as William Lane Craig pointed out, and we talked about just before the break, we need to establish that Jesus actually claimed to be God for the trilemma to be valid.
Now, are there not outside sources, like some of the historians, like from the Roman Empire and stuff like that, that actually talk about how Jesus claimed to be God?
Well, there are definitely sources that show Jesus existed and that Christians worshiped him as God.
Right.
So there are definitely sources like that. But, you know, I think even discounting the Bible, the Jewish government still pressed to have Jesus put to death for blasphemy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
What exactly is blasphemy, Jeff?
Blasphemy is like Jesus. In Jesus' case, blasphemy was claiming to be God. He was claiming these divine attributes that the Jewish people said were not his. You know, that you, a mere man, claim to be equal to God.
You know, that's a huge one, because everybody forgets that, well, the Jewish society didn't just exist in the Bible. It existed in real life. And these people actually, you know, tried to kill him on several occasions because of his blasphemy.
Exactly. And that's really important. Now, as you were pointing out, there are historians. One of them is Josephus, a Roman historian. He wasn't a Christian. And this, the same thing was with the Greek satirist Lucian.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pliny the Younger. There's a number of historians that talk about Jesus and show that he was worshipped as deity. So in a purely historical context, discounting any biblical historical records, we know Jesus claimed to be God.
Right.
And we know he was executed for that claim.
Right. Well, and we know, I mean, because these historians weren't like from the 1800s. These historians were from the first century.
Right.
Or right around there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. They were there right around that same time. So, I mean, really, what other options are there? If Jesus did exist, and he wasn't crazy, and he wasn't a liar, and it's not a myth, and he really did claim to be God, like, what options are there?
Well, we didn't rule out the aliens yet.
That's true. It could be aliens who have implanted computers in all of our brains and are controlling us to make us believe in Jesus.
I'm scared.
I haven't ruled it. I suppose we need to get MRIs.
We should. Everybody go out and, boy, the medical medical community is going to love us now.
It's a racket.
It is.
The medical community hired the aliens to, okay, but you know, understand, there's no other reasonable explanation.
Because right. That's not a reasonable explanation.
Right. So anyway, if you can come up with a reasonable explanation, we'd like to hear it.
Definitely.
Send it into questions at truthrevolution.tv, and we'd like a chance to evaluate it. And we'll evaluate it truthfully, honestly.
Right, because we want to know the truth. If what we're talking about is untrue, then we need to stop doing it.
Right. I mean, you just heard us, and this is important, Christians. We can't just accept everything that sounds good. You just heard us take the trilemma, which C.S. Lewis created, and Christians have pushed for years, and say, it's not good enough.
Right.
It's not a good enough argument unless you have to add a few things to it first. And even then, I don't want to treat it as a deductive, logical proof. It's just an inductive piece of evidence.
Right. And do it objectively.
That's right. So always question whether you're a Christian, an atheist, whatever. You know, just try to know reality. Okay. So, Dave, why don't we go ahead and do our Bible contradiction?
Alrighty.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today comes from evilbible.com.
We get a lot from there.
Well, I've actually been kind of checking out their site lately because it's you go on there and it's got some quick boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to read because it's like they don't really go into a lot of explanation. They just list it right out there for you. So
that's cool.
My Bible contradiction is not coming up on my phone.
Here, take my paper.
I just took your paper.
We'll share.
All right, check it out. This is a big deal that I know that a lot of people have talked about. Public prayer versus private prayer, you know?
Yes.
Public prayer was sanctioned in 1 Kings 8, 22 and 54, and then in 1 Kings 9, 3, and saying that Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven. And when he had finished these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. And then in 1 Kings 9, 3,
yeah,
the Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea.
Okay, so he prayed in public big time, and God was happy with it.
Yeah. However, in Matthew 6, 5 and 6, it says, and this is Jesus talking, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the streets and be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. And it goes on to say, when you pray, go into a private room and make your prayers known to God.
Okay. Well, if we're going to use our CRACKED acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, and this acronym helps show us how to answer Bible contradictions, we're going to go to the letter A, mm-hmm. which is author's intent.
Right.
And by author's intent, we have to ask, what was Jesus trying to communicate when he said this? Not, you know, was he trying to give a legalistic rule? Here is the rule. Go to your room, close the door, lock the door, mm-hmm. and pray like that. There is no other appropriate way to pray. Is that, was he giving a legalistic rule, or was he counteracting an image that many Pharisees had at the time?
Right.
Which was to pray out loud and pray in front of people and use lots of words. Well, I think the answer is that he was counteracting the popular notion of that day. He was not giving a rule. He was giving you an example of the heart of God.
Right.
Now, see, the Bible contains lists of rules. We have a rule book like the Ten Commandments. Now, there's other rules, all sorts of rules in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. But this isn't a rule. This is right. an example of how to follow the heart of God. So the Pharisees are talking, and Jesus answers the Pharisees, and he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites.
Right.
They love to pray to be seen by others.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another part of the CRACKED acronym is context.
Yes.
You know, and you need to know that's what was happening.
Yeah, the first C is context. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, context, and we always, what's the historical context? And the historical context mm-hmm. is people were standing up trying to be seen. They're praying just to make it a show.
Right.
And so Jesus is counteracting that. He's not giving a legalistic rule. You know, the dialect would be important here. Is this mm-hmm. a list of rules, or is this a narrative to express, you know, the proper way to understand the heart of God? And the heart of God is, when your Father who sees what you do in secret, he will reward you. Now, let's even treat it like it was a rule. Okay, let's just be harsher and say, okay, well, Jesus was given a rule here. Do it, close the door and pray to your Father, and then when he sees what's done in secret, he will reward you. Does that mean that he couldn't have answered Solomon's prayer when Solomon prayed in public? No, because Jesus doesn't say, if you pray in public, God won't answer. He says, if you pray in private, God will reward you.
Right.
And so it doesn't even mean that if Solomon was wrong for doing that, it doesn't even mean God wouldn't answer. Because God could still answer. Jesus didn't say he wouldn't. Does right. that make sense?
He just gave going into your room and lock the door as an option to
and
receive God's...
that you'll get a reward right. from it. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
And really, when you pray and you think about it, it's all about, you know, what's in your heart and what is your intent? What are you doing? You know, and if your intent yeah. is to be seen by people, that's what Jesus is talking about, and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and that's the important thing. All right, so someone had sent in a question to the website, yeah. truthrevolution.tv.
Well, I'm telling you, man, this is pretty hard stuff.
You think?
Good. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not talking about as in difficult. I'm talking about hard as in As in, it's really good questions that you
potent.
Need to, yeah, it's potent. You need to ask yourself these kind of questions and come up with the correct answers.
All right. So they sent in the question, and they said, hey, go to this website. And the website basically, this guy said, I saw a list of 10 questions that Christians are supposed to ask scientists to give scientists a hard time or whatever. I don't know. Right. And he said, so here's, I think they should get a taste of their own medicine.
Right. It's questions that cast light on the unsavory parts of Christian theology and raise the difficult, uncomfortable issues that most religious leaders prefer to avoid. Now, everybody knows, if you've been listening to our show for a while, we don't avoid anything.
Yeah, so if most religious leaders prefer to avoid these questions, that pretty much means we're going to answer them. We're going to try.
We're right on it.
I shouldn't say we will answer. We'll try to answer. Yeah,
which basically means Jeff does the talking and I sit here and say, yeah, right.
Whatever.
All right, so you want to do one of these real quick? We'll do a couple of them.
Let's do one or two, however much we got time for.
All right. All right. We'll do this as like a top 10 list, and we'll do number 10 today, and maybe 9 and 8.
Okay,
and then we'll go right on.
Yes,
all right,
top 10. I like this. Okay.
If you had the power to help all people who are suffering or in need at no cost or effort to yourself, would you do it?
Yes, the answer is yes.
And if so, why hasn't God done this already?
Oh. Well, okay. Well, so the second question is a little bit harder, huh?
Yes. This is the one we got to answer.
Dude, actually, in our show today, there is a quote that I had prepared from C.S. Lewis that I think kind of answers this.
Okay.
I skipped over the quote because we kind of talked off to something else and moved on. But the quote says this. I'm just going to quote C.S. Lewis. Why is God landing in this enemy-occupied world in disguise and starting a sort of secret society to undermine the devil? Why is he not landing in force, invading it? Is it that he's not strong enough? Well, Christians think he is going to land in force.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know when. But we can guess why he's delaying. He wants to give us a chance of joining his side freely.
Right.
And so that's the answer. You know, okay, he says God has the power to help all people who are suffering, but God isn't doing it. Why not? And the answer is God is going to make everything right.
Mm-hmm.
He is, but if God were to show up right now, we would lose free will.
Right. In fact, I'm actually going to go one step further.
Okay.
God already has, and since God created the universe and therefore God created time, he is outside of time, and therefore he has already done it according to his viewpoint. We just haven't seen the results yet.
Whoa.
Did I just say that?
Dave. Lord, flyer, or lunatic?
Oh, no. Don't do it.
No, I'm just saying that was really good. I felt like dancing.
Yeah, good.
No, that's good because he's outside of time. And so in a way, from God's perspective, he has come in force and stopped evil.
Right.
Now, from our perspective, that's not the case, of course.
No, we just haven't seen the results yet.
We're waiting for him to come and do that.
Right.
But it's not that God hasn't or God cannot or that God will not. It is that God will.
Right. And if you remember, God says, I am. And God is. And since he just is, he has already done it.
Yeah.
He's taken care of.
That's cool. I like that.
All right.
Number nine.
Is it fair or rational for God to hide himself so that he can only be known by faith that insists that every single human being find him by picking the right one out of thousands of conflicting or incompatible religions?
Okay.
Why is God making us run through this maze and instead of just coming out and showing himself?
You know, I have an uncle whom I love dearly, and I was trying to speak to him about Christianity, and he said, I don't believe it. I won't believe that I have to know God through one guy who lived 2,000 years ago. He's talking about Jesus, obviously. And this guy is kind of saying the same thing. Is it fair or rational for God to hide himself? You know, we have to pick just the right religion out of the thousands. And I think this is an improper analogy.
Okay.
You know, he's acting as though there are 10,000 ping pong balls, all red, and there's only one in there that's green. And you got to stick your hand in and you got to grab one and pull it out. And hopefully it's green,
right?
You know, but you only got a one in 10,000 chance. But that is not what choosing the right religion is like. It's like, and right now, how many major religions are there?
I'd say probably about, what, five?
Yeah, there's like five, if that, you know, and maybe a few more. Let's just say there's eight.
Okay.
You've got eight things laid in front of you. All of them are very, very different. two of them, Judaism and Christianity, Judaism leads to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got seven or eight, maybe five or four major religions. The question is, do any of these have evidence that are based in reality?
Go back and listen to some of our shows.
We did a show about this, actually. Uh-huh. Just choose the religions that make sense in our real world. And you're down to like three.
Yeah.
Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And then out of those, pick the one that has evidence. All right, we'll have to pick this up later. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Come on out to Revolution Church. See you next week. Listen to our Truth Lot shots online.